Welcome, everybody. Everyone excited to be here this morning? As you know, this is our last in our series on discipleship. But first, before we start, I just wanted to say that it is an honour and privilege to be standing here on this stage today. And I know I've said that before, but really, when my family came back to this church in the year 2000, I was just 10 years of age. Little did I know the impact that people would have had on my life over the last 19 and a half years. All of us all have our own unique journeys, but there is something amazing, isn't there, about how our lives are all intertwined together. At different points, we all meet. Over the last 19 and a half years, I've seen people come and go in the church. People that have loved, encouraged, and challenged me in my faith. And I can honestly say that through the good times and also the bad times, why would I want it any different? Because I can learn from all of those experiences. Once more, there are some people who haven't just taught me the gospel. There's some people here that have equipped me on how to have a living relationship with Jesus so that I can understand the gospel in my own room when I'm reading the Bible, and also I can also share it with other people. If it wasn't for you guys in this building, I would not be the person that I am today. I've got a quick video for you guys just to see. It's about 4 minutes long. If you just want to have a quick look, it should hopefully come up on the screen. I don't know why the video ended like that, but that's a good point, I think. You didn't know you were going to see a documentary this morning, did you? I love this video because it shows a really beautiful example of how just in one man's generation, he doesn't live long enough to complete the work that needs to be done. And I want to ask you guys all the question, what are the bridges that you guys are building in your life? Are they bridges that pass your generation, that will stand up for a long time, or bridges that will just fall apart when you're not around to look after them? In this video, they use the term living bridges. Why? Because these are bridges that would outlast even steel bridges today. Why? Because they're made from trees that live a long time. They can repair themselves and they will continue to grow for 500 years into the future. But something amazing also comes out of this video for me, and that is the legacy that is passed down through the generations. The purpose isn't just building bridges. It's to take people safely from one side of the bridge to the other and to also share the journey with those people and to teach them how to build more bridges to connect more people. In our Christian walk, we don't just want to build churches. We want to journey with people so that they will enter the kingdom of God. And then they are confident to also journey with other people along the way. This is something that if we want to see it grow, yes, we have to nurture it. Yes, we have to look after it. But we also must be willing to hold on to it loosely and bring along others on the journey. We can't be so precious about the church or the ministry that we have built. In particular, it's a good idea to bring people of the generation below us so that it will be something that will last on forever. I might embarrass them this morning, but this morning it was great to see Gracie leading some worship. Somebody of a younger generation coming up through, and she's ducking down behind the PA desk. But it was brilliant to see that, wasn't it? I believe we have to be willing to share the journey with other people, and we have to be willing to let them join with us along the way. So I want to share with you an alarming fact that actually, you know, when you share stuff with people, it always comes at a cost. Time, finances, energy, input. And the more we're willing to give away, the more it's going to cost us. For this man here, he had to invest time and energy into his daughter. She might not have always done it the way that he wanted to. It might not have always been right. But he had to give up that time and energy. The more we are willing to give away, the more it will cost us. Jesus himself gave up his seat on the throne. He came down to this earth as a baby. He served people who constantly rejected him, even though he performed miracle after miracle. He gave up on worldly pursuits to overcome sin. He died on one of the most painful ways that you could ever go. He came back to life to his disciples after being raised from the dead and is still coming back for you and I now. The cost was great. If anyone here thinks that life is tough and that life is hard, I'm sure that it is. But I want to ask you the question, how big is the cost and what cost are you going to choose to pay? Because the cost that Jesus chose to pay had eternal rewards. He chose to invest his time in people that was going to be eternal rewards, and that is why you and I are here today. Guys, we can't hold on too tightly to the way that we want to do church. We have to be willing to pass them on. Otherwise, it will die out. We need to invest in things that count. Things that aren't going to be a waste of time. Over the last 2 weeks, we have started to share with you some of our strategy here at Oasis. It's a simple one. It comes at a cost, but the benefits are eternal. And it's all about discipling other people, helping people into relationship with Jesus through a discipleship model. And I'm not going to lie, for this to work, we need people behind it. We need people behind the vision. We need people to be excited about it. Is anybody excited about it in this room? You're just saying that just to make me feel happy. And we need people who can go out and put it into action. So here's a bit of a test for you. Over the last 2 weeks, what are some of the things that we talked about? First week, what was the first topic? Does anybody know? Streams. Streams are that place where we're connecting people into our church community, into our church family. Do you know, there always has to be a starting point where people have to come and see. And that's the words that Jesus used. He said, come and see what I do. Come and see what it means to live life as a Christian. And we've got to make environments for people where it is comfortable for people to come in. The second thing we talked about, which was last week, does anybody know? Tribes. God, you guys are good today. Spiritual growth through close relationships in a small group setting. You know, you can hear me talk all the time you like, but some of the times the best that we learn are those one-on-one conversations with people in those small group settings where we're close and we're comfortable and we can be honest with others. Jesus said the words, follow me. This is a place where people can get closer relationships, where we can get to know each other along a way and our journey grow in a relationship with God. And anybody tell me what this week's topic is? Leaders. We've got it over on the side there. First and foremost, for any of you who are leaders in this room, or maybe some of you that are serving in a ministry of some sort of capacity, I just want to say a humongous thank you for your time, your energy, your sacrifice, and all that you guys are putting in. You do not realize the impact you are having on other people around you. By just saying a few words, by setting an example to how people should live their lives, you are part of their journey and you are impacting their lives. And this is what we want to see in this church. We want to see that there is space to develop a family of leaders who have a heart to serve other people. We want to, just like the bridge builders we saw earlier, leave a legacy way into the future. And in order to do that, we need leaders who are going to be able to train up more leaders. We need leaders who are going to pass things on down through the generations. It has already happened. You would not be here today if it wasn't for the disciples that went out to the whole of the world. There was a legacy that was set and is also part of our responsibility as a group of people. See, part of our spiritual growth, part of our spiritual journey is we start seeking Jesus, we grow in our relationship with God, but then we get so confident in what we believe that we can't contain it and we need to share it. And that is part of leading. At Oasis, one of the things that we're looking and we're wanting to do better is better support people in leadership. so that we can be the best family of leaders possible. We really need great leaders in this place. We already have great leaders. We need more great leaders, but we want to better our leaders as well. And this all stems back to Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. Jesus said this, "Walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. For they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their nets and followed him." Now, if you're a new Christian in this building, you may turn to your Bible and you look at Mark chapter 1 and you see this scripture here and you may think, wow, Jesus was just strolling past on the beach and he called out to the fishermen, "Come and follow me." And they were like, "Yeah, I'm going to leave my nets, I'm going to follow you." But actually, that's not quite exactly how it actually happened. You see, if we learn to see kind of the bigger story when we put all the Gospels all together, we learn that actually Matthew, Mark, Luke and John all actually sometimes miss out some of the stories. And actually some of them don't even put them in chronological order. But you can read this throughout the whole Gospels, how even before this point where Jesus was calling these people to be leaders, there was already the streams, the come and see what I'm doing. There was already the tribes, the developing of the relationship. Jesus asked people that he already knew to come and follow him. Here, Jesus spent time with his small group of disciples, preparing them for ministry ahead. And here at Oasis, we want to do the same. We want to spend time with the disciples that are here. And we want to develop you guys more to be able to get to a point where you are confident enough to lead to the best of your ability. So here we have it. We've got our discipleship process. We have streams. We have tribes. And we have leaders. It's not just about the names. You see, we could put on the best events, the best strategic events that we want to. But, you know, everybody is individual and everybody has a bit of a journey. And we want you guys to be on board with this of coming along and bringing people through in a process. We can't put people in a filter and expect people to come out in the same way. We're all different and we're all unique and we need to allow to be as flexible as possible. But the biggest thing is we want to bring people through a process of learning more about Jesus so that they're confident enough to share the gospel. So why leaders? Why do we also want to focus on leaders? Well, first, as we've seen before, it's biblical. It's the way Jesus did things. He didn't just teach the disciples the theology of how to become a Christian. No, he showed them on how to do it practically. He came alongside them and said, "This is how you pray. This is how you fast. This is how you perform miracles. This is how you invest time in children's lives, in other people's lives." He also spent time showing the disciples how to pray and put time aside in their diary to spend time with God. He taught them how to have relationship with God for when he wasn't physically there as a man. So the first thing is, other than being biblical, there are some other reasons why we need to focus on leaders within this church. And the first thing is that being a leader is draining. You know, when you're giving out, we've already said that there's a cost of something involved. But we're aware that people who lead in churches are often on the giving end more than they are on the receiving end. And the problem is with that we end up reaching burnout. The more times that you guys give out, I know that some of you give a lot of your time. You've already heard about people that have been setting up this stuff on the stage and stuff. They've given out a lot of their time and a lot of their energy. And sometimes you can reach burnout unless you recharge your batteries. I was at a conference yesterday, and Rachel might recognize who the person speaking was that I'm going to talk to you about their story that they shared with us. And they shared a story that they were on a plane journey. They had been on many planned journeys before, but on this particular time, they felt God was speaking to them when the flight attendant did the normal spiel of, in the unlikely event of an emergency, the oxygen mask will fall down. Please remember to slip this over your head before helping the person next to you to put theirs on. It's counterintuitive, isn't it? If you've got a child next to you, you want to put their oxygen mask on first. But there's a reason why they tell you to put the oxygen mask on first before you help people, because you cannot help people unless you have oxygen in your lungs. We need leaders that are going to have need to have time to breathe. And we need to invest in our leaders so that we can have so that they can stand strong when it comes to giving out in the ministry, so that they're full up, ready for when they're going to give out. Ministry is draining and we need to recharge. It's a little bit like if you want to bless somebody financially. If you want to bless somebody and help somebody financially, you cannot do it if you're in financial debt. It is not going to help you at all, and you're going to end up worse off. You're not going to be able to help any more people in the future. Not easily, anyway. So the second thing is why we need to invest in our leaders is that simply this, being a leader is hard. I can tell you this doing youth work. I reckon there's only really one young person that ever comes up to me who's really genuine and says, Josh, thank you so much for all you're doing. It's not the way that they're wired, it's not in their brain, and sometimes it can be demoralizing. And that's something that I've had to learn. But fortunately, I've got you guys always encouraging me. You see, you can have a team of people around your ministry where people grow in relationship with you and love you, but when you're the one setting up the chairs week in, week out, planning and thinking ahead, it can feel like you're doing it all by yourself. If you find yourself so busy serving in a ministry, on top of doing all the things that you have to do in your home life, you have to do in your work life, it can often squeeze the ministry down to a place where we just don't feel like we have even the energy to engage in a conversation with somebody. And that conversation could be vitally important for that person. So one of the things that we want to do going forward is we want to allow more space for our leaders to breathe that fresh air, and to have the support of other like-minded Christian leaders around them who understand how hard it can be to lead and grow people and to invest in that as well. And the last thing is this. Being a leader, sometimes we feel the need for excellence. We want to do the best, don't we? We want to give out. We want our ministry to grow. We want it to be the best of abilities. And we want to see people getting something out of it. But our excellence can never be at the expense of opportunities that we give other people and that we give other leaders. Tim Alford, I would have got you a picture, but he's not that good looking, so I didn't stick him on the screen. He's the head of our youth movement within Elim called Limitless. And he recently sent out some of their core values of what they're standing for in their youth department. And it says this: family is our heart. Fun is our spirit. Excellence and opportunity are our pursuits. Listening is our culture. Service is our posture. And pioneering is our calling. Sounds good, right? But when he expands each section, one of the things he says here under the excellence and opportunities part is this. We believe that spirit-filled should not equate to poorly planned, thrown together, and badly executed programs. We believe in giving the very best we have to the very best we can. We believe in setting standards that scare us and work us hard to achieve them. We celebrate excellence, but not at the expense of opportunity. Because we believe that beauty is born in embracing the tension. What does he mean by this? We need to allow space to be the best at what we can be. We need to allow space to time and plan to be the best that we can be. But we can't be so picky when we're actually serving that everything has to be in its right place. Because if we do that, we will miss the opportunities to talk to people and to share with people. All of our energies will go into making the things perfect. I know that Alan has spent a lot of time aligning all of the things that we've got here, and we're going to reap the benefits of that. Okay. But sometimes if we do it when we're actually meant to be focusing on people and that time and the energy, then we can lose our focus. We need to allow time that we can plan properly as a church to execute our discipleship strategy really, really well, so that when the time actually comes, we can invest time in that relationship with people. Relationship is key and is really, really important. One of the difficulties we found as a church, as it's starting to grow, is that we can't run church like we always have. As the church has grown, one of the things that we have noticed in the calendar is that it is getting really, really busy. Honestly, we've just built our new portal, kind of our new calendar, and it is slowing down, isn't it, Rachel? The more events we put on, it's getting slower and slower because it's asking to load more and more events. As the church has grown, one of the things that we have noticed is that the calendar is getting so, so busy. We're excited because of the ministries in the church, but the problem is that we're asking people to come out more and more. We're asking people to give up more of their time and their energy. And I'm sure that most of you in this room will say that your time is sometimes even more precious than our money. Our time is really, really important. And in this country, let me tell you, we're not the kind of people that we're lazy. We work hard. We work really hard in this country. Trust me, when I go out to Brazil and I see Lima's family and they just like to drink on the porch, you know, on their evenings, they like to relax. We work hard into our evenings and we work really difficult hours sometimes. Eventually, if we keep working ourselves too hard, we're going to reach burnout. Do we want to have excellence? Yes, we do, but not at the expense of our leaders' well-being. We want to be able to release our leaders to feel they can do such a good job that they can also have the capacity to train up new leaders as well. We recognize the need to invest in our leaders and also to give to those that are serving under those leaders a well-deserved break. So we also need to give a break to our volunteers, that maybe you don't clash yourself as a leader, but you are also giving your time and energy, and we need to recharge our batteries. So how are we going to do this? So part of our strategy from January is that in the first week of every month, we're going to be shrinking down our program. We're going to be putting less events on in the first week so that people that are investing in ministries can have a bit of a break. They can spend time with their own relationship with Jesus. But also then we are going to gather with some of our leaders together to better equip them, to recharge our teams, to help coordinate things. When we spend time together, we're going to encourage leaders to step up and step out, and so that we can also share our resources that we have across all of our ministries. As a church, we all have our place to bring people into discipleship with leaders. So having the strategy area leaders will help us to ensure that we are supporting our leaders equally across all areas of the church, that we are combining all of our efforts to help lead people through a process of discipleship, from streams to tribes to leaders, into loving relationship with others, into loving relationship with Jesus, so that they are so strong in their faith that they can be confident to also share with other people. So my next question is, are we all called to lead? Some of you, put your hands up here. You say, I'm not a leader. Anybody feel that they're not a leader? And that's fine. Okay. So there may be some of us hearing this, but Josh, I'm not a leader. I'm not one of those people who's good at organizing things, or I'm not good at pulling a team together. And I certainly do not want to do public speaking. Well, on the face of it, maybe you aren't what any of us would call a natural leader. Some of you might be coming up with the following reasons in your head. I can see it now. It's going round. I can't lead. I don't have a position of authority. I'm just not a natural take charge sort of person. But I'm an introvert, so I don't really influence other people. If everyone is a leader, then who's following? Leadership means power, and power corrupts. Leadership roles and leadership training are just not for everybody. I know I won't say, but I know there's somebody in my team. Don't think they really enjoy our training days. Some of us, we're more visual, we're more practical. We don't always like sitting and listening to training. But I'm of a person of faith. Doesn't the Bible say that we are followers, not leaders? Leadership is only for people who have top positions in organizations. And this is my response to all of the reasons that we are all on a journey. But some of us have been in this room have been Christians for a very long time. We know more than we think. And we're living out relationship with Jesus day in, day out. Some of us are further along the journey than others. And we can all, in some capacity, help others who are not as far as along. I've just started, we've started back our life groups back up again. And I realized that I know more than I actually think. You know, when I come and I teach some of our young people and some of the people around us, I realize there is more scriptural backing in my head than I realize. I might not remember the exact place it is in the Bible, but I have a lot to give. And that is the same for a lot of you that have been Christians for a very long time. You may not think it, but let me challenge you now. You have more to give than you can ever imagine. And some of the greatest gifts that you can give people are your time. You know, I was at a youth conference yesterday, and one of the leaders said, you know, it's amazing. I had some of the best youth workers ever. I can't remember anything they taught me, but I remember they invested their time in me. And some of that time and that energy means more to people than sometimes even the words that you say. Sometimes it's the example that is set. If you're leading a good example, if you are in good relationship with Jesus, you have good working practices, you have good good habits in your life, there are people, believe it or not, that are looking at you. People are looking for people on how to live their life because they don't know how. Do you know we're living in a generation out there where there are so many people without parents? Without functional families. We're in a place at the moment where mental health is really, really, really bad and people need support. Eventually, leadership is a calling on every one of us to some degree. You may not ever become the senior pastor of a church, but we are all called to lead. And I want to challenge us that at times, we are called to be leaders. We may not be the natural choice of leader, but we're not alone. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, empowering us to do his work. All of us have the potential in this room to influence those around us. And the deeper we spend in relationship with God, the more we become like the ultimate leader. The more we become like Jesus himself, a natural leader. You see, when we're looking at this discipleship process, we're not just looking at a tick box exercise here. We're not just saying, okay, this person has reached our streams. Now they're going to move on to our tribes. They've reached our tribes. Now we're going to train them up to be leaders. They've become a brilliant leader. Now they're going to train them up to lead other leaders. We have to go on a journey with people, and it takes time and it takes energy. We have to be confident in what we know so that the person we are discipling will be also confident to share their faith. We have to allow for the cost of time, finances. But let me tell you something. It's not all hard work because there are rewards. The rewards we might not even see in this lifetime, but they're eternal. When you invest your time and your energy as a leader into somebody, those rewards are eternal. And it's a really excited place to be. I don't know if any of you have ever seen or been part of the journey of somebody becoming a Christian, but let me tell you, it is an exciting process. It's exciting to see that. And it's such a great feeling inside that you were actually part of that as a leader. So I wonder today if there is anything that I've said that may have struck a chord with any of you in this room. In a moment, I'm just going to pray for a couple of things that I feel possibly could impact some of us in this room. For some of you here, you may feel like you have never led anything or never been confident enough to lead anything. You may have found that you're not good enough. We don't have the skill set or the courage enough to take that leadership step. And I want to challenge you that if you read our Bible, it was full of ordinary people that did extraordinary things because of Jesus, because of their relationship with God. Here are a few of them. Abraham and Sarah, well, they were just too old, weren't they? Moses, he had a stuttering problem, and he was a murderer. Deborah found she was the only one willing to step up and take responsibility. A female that in that times would have been frowned upon necessarily for them to be a leader. Miriam was a gossip. Ruth was a widow. David was an adulterer. Jonah was disobedient. Elijah suffered from depression. Zacchaeus was short. Lazarus was dead. And everyone has an excuse, okay? Everybody has an excuse. But let me tell you something now. God has solutions. He only has solutions. The second thing is that I want to pray for today is that maybe you have been leading. You have put your heart and soul and your energy into leading something, but somehow you just don't feel like you can continue to do so. Or you can continue to do that role. You may have been downtrodden. You might be drained. You don't have the energy. Or maybe another leader has just really, really hurt you. Firstly, I want to say this because I know it in my own life. Don't ever give up on the vision and the dreams God has given you. Because it's him that we ultimately serve. And if they are God-given dreams, then you will see them happen. It may take time, it may take energy, but do not give up on the dreams that God has given and he's planted in your heart. Let me tell you, if they are not God-given dreams, they won't come into fruition and they will not happen. Throughout just 3 years with Jesus, the disciples had learned to do one thing, to make more disciples, and it worked. We wouldn't be here today, sat in this building, if it wasn't for the actions of the disciples. There was a point where the disciples had to take responsibility for all they had learned and put it into action. Could we have the worship team back up? Thank you. I want to ask, is there anybody in this room that would stand up? If maybe, we'll get everyone to stand up all together. Maybe you've never been a leader, and maybe there's something inside of you that you've wanted to step up and be a leader in some degree at some point. Maybe we could have all of our leaders stand up as well with other leaders. And lastly, I want to pray for you guys. If you are struggling to be a leader, if you have been giving out your time and your energy, I'm going to ask that you will also stand as well and pray with me. If that applies to anybody now, would you like to just stand? If you're a leader in the church, if you're wanting to be a leader, or you are struggling to be a leader, I want to ask that you just stand now so we can pray. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20 says this, and I want to speak this over you guys. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Shall we pray? Father God, I just thank you for everybody standing up in this room. Lord, I thank you for everybody that serves, that gives out their time and their energy, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we honor them before you right now, Father. But Father God, I pray that you will empower them to be the leaders that you have called them to be, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will empower them to be leaders that will not just change their local area, but will change this nation. They will make a contribution to people's lives. They will make leaders of leaders. Lord, that they will have more energy than they have ever had before, Lord Jesus. That they'll find more time to come into relationship with you. Holy Spirit, I just ask for all of our leaders right now, Lord Jesus, that you'll bless them right where they are, Lord. And Lord, as we all continue to worship and as we all continue to stand together, Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll meet with us right here, right now in this place. Lord, I know standing up here on this platform, Lord, that I am far from perfect. Lord, I know that I sometimes make mistakes, Lord. Lord, I know that I struggle to be the person that you have called me to be, Father. But Lord, I ask in your wonderful and precious name that you will empower us to be the people that you've created us to be, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that we won't be a generation of people that will step back, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that we won't be a generation of people that will just stop and give up, Lord Jesus, because we just feel like we don't have the energy, Lord Jesus. But Lord, I pray that we'll spend our time and invest our energy in you, Lord Jesus, so that we can make a difference to the lives of those people that are around us, Lord Jesus. Lord, there are so many people in this world that are struggling, Lord. People that can't afford to eat, Lord Jesus. Lord, people that are struggling financially, Lord Jesus. People that have had families that have broken down. People that just need you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for all of us in this room, wherever we are along in this discipleship process, Lord Jesus, wherever we're right at the beginning, Lord Jesus, or whether we're right at the end, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll give us a heart to serve, to love other people, Lord Jesus, to love the generations of people that are out there, Lord, even if they're not very nice to us, Lord. Father, help us to be the best leaders that we can be, to be the best examples that we can be, in your wonderful and precious name. Amen.